When I was growing up, my parents had one rule for dinner time that I think probably says more about the kind of kid I was than it does about them as parents. No singing at the table. I don't know anybody else have that rule in their house? I know that there were some others that did. It's kind of funny to me now because I'm pretty sure that rule only applied to me because I don't ever remember my brother or sister breaking into song at the table. But kids are prone to do that sometimes. The joy of life just kind of bubbles up in them and they sing, they dance for no particular reason, which is why I think maybe Jesus said, unless we all become like little children, we'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. There is something about that joyful spirit, something about that thanksgiving that comes so naturally to children that I think it's good for all of us. It's something that we should encourage in one another. Almost 20 years ago now, I went to the Holy Lands and I visited Jerusalem and I went to the Western Wall, which is the original site of the temple in Jerusalem. And Jews from all over the world will gather there at the Western Wall to pray. And while I was there, I noticed there were these Orthodox-looking Jews kind of walking around. Some of them were reading Scripture. And as they went, they rocked back and forth, and they danced, and many of them were laughing and singing. And I later learned that these were Hasidic Jews. Who are known for that kind of thing. They are, people will say that they brought joy back into Judaism a couple of hundred years ago when they were founded. They took literally the words from Psalm 35 that said, "All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee?" So when you see them rocking back and forth, you see them laughing, it is literally their body praising God. It is their bones within them praising God. Their founder was a guy by the name of Rabbi Israel Baal Shem Tov. He once said, "One cannot serve God with joy if one doesn't daily experience that unbounded spirit of joy within oneself." Expressing prayer and praise and thanksgiving for God in music, in dance, in laughter is some of the oldest traditions in Judaism and in Christianity. But I'm probably a lot like you. I grew up in a pretty conservative church when it came to stuff like that. You don't see many people dancing, laughing out loud in worship unless the pastor tells a good one. Don't see a lot of people even raising their hands in thanksgiving or in praise. You might sometimes, but in my church growing up, if somebody had done that, they'd have been the talk of the church probably for a couple of weeks. That's just the way it was. And things haven't changed that much. But here's the thing. The fact that we aren't Pentecostal or charismatic doesn't mean that we can't be enthusiastic in our worship or in our praise and thanksgiving. A few years ago, I learned something interesting about the word enthusiasm that has stuck with me. Somebody pointed out that it is actually from the Latin entheos. Enthusiasm, entheos, which means to be in God. So, when we're enthusiastic, we're operating in the realm of the Spirit. Little kids get that. Hasidic Jews get that, and we can too. In our scripture reading for today from the letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus, and I think he's giving them a suggestion. He's inviting them to live this life of thanksgiving, this life of enthusiasm, of living in God and in the Spirit. And so we read from Ephesians, beginning at chapter 5, verse 15. "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody in the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So this coming week, is thanksgiving. So it seems to me that this is some wise counsel for us. It can be our guide in some ways for how we experience thanksgiving in our lives and how we might celebrate. And he begins there at the beginning by saying that we should live wisely, not unwisely, but wisely. And then he has a very specific kind of instruction that has always raised some questions for me. But the instruction here is, do not get drunk on wine, he says, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Now, I don't know how Keokuk works, but I know in my little hometown up in Madison County, Iowa, that this week and the night before Thanksgiving in particular is the biggest night of the year for the hometown bar. Now, is that true here? And I would think it probably would be. Everybody's home, right? Everybody's home for the holidays. They get to sleep in the next day. They want to see their old friends and maybe get away from their families for a few minutes. And so they go out. So wine and beer flowing, probably some other spirits as well. And I'm not sure that Paul would have been necessarily opposed to that. We know that Paul wrote to his friend Timothy, and he said, hey, you need to loosen up a little bit. Take some wine for your stomach, he says. And we know that Jesus and his disciples, they imbibed occasionally too. We know Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine at that wedding reception at Cana. Basically, this was after several days, remember. He restocked the bar, kept the party going. But what Paul says here is don't refrain from wine entirely, unless that's something you need to do. He says, instead, don't get drunk on wine. And I think what he's really trying to say here, I think the message that I get from this is, don't seek joy in artificial ways. Don't be filled with spirits, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think too often alcohol can be like a lot of things in our lives. It can be a way of self-medicating. It can become a way of numbing ourselves to the world and escaping the world. And we numb ourselves and we seek this kind of temporary joy and peace, but it's temporary and it's short-lived. And sometimes we wake up the next morning and those problems that we thought we left behind, they're still there, but sometimes they're even bigger. I've often said, and I've certainly seen this in lots and lots of people and lots of families, there is no problem that alcohol can't make worse, right? Even though it feels like maybe it's helping it to some degree. There is a better alternative. Paul says here, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be filled with artificial stuff, whether it's alcohol or shopping or eating too much or whatever it is that's your particular way of escaping. Don't be filled with that. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit and let the joy of that bubble up in you until you feel like singing and dancing. Whether you let loose or not, let that joy bubble up inside of you. You may have heard me say this before, because I'm sure I've said it, maybe even in a sermon, but one of the reasons that I don't drink, especially when I'm, well, anytime, but especially when I'm in a group of people where there's a lot of that going on, is because I never want anybody to look at my joy and thanksgiving and enthusiasm and say, well, yeah, I'd feel that way too if I had a six-pack of beer in me. I don't want that. I want them to know that joy is the result of a life lived in faith. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's the mark of what it looks like to be a disciple. It comes naturally to those who are living their lives in Christ. And the cool thing is that once you've experienced it, then you get to invite others to be a part of it. One of the things I love about being a minister is that I get to invite people to enter into joy, to have fun. I've never seen that listed as a part of a job description, but I'm not so sure that it shouldn't be. Whether I'm at church camp working with a bunch of kids or leading an elder's Bible study, one of the most important things I think I do is allow people, give people permission to laugh and to have fun. Because if that's not happening, I'm not always so sure that the Spirit has a whole bunch of room to move. Unfortunately, you wouldn't think people would need permission for that sort of thing, but there are so many grumpy Christians out there in the world, so many people with mad faces that are claiming to represent Christ, that I think a lot of people outside of the church, and maybe even sometimes inside of the church, have the sense that that's what real faith looks like. That's what authentic Christianity looks like. It looks mad, and it looks grumpy, and it looks unhappy. But it's not. I'm telling you right now that a life lived in the Spirit is enthusiastic. It's lived in God, and it's joyful, and it's thankful, and it's about singing and dancing and laughing, and as Paul says right there at the end of the text that we read from Ephesians, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything. That's pretty all-encompassing. For at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our national Thanksgiving holiday is this week, so this is the week when everyone kind of pauses to say thank you. But I believe that Thanksgiving and joy is our vocation as disciples every day. It is who we are. It's what we do. Jesus said in John 15, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full." I mean, he wanted to make sure that this was something his disciples understood, that joy was to be a part of their lives. But that doesn't mean that there aren't challenges. As Paul says, the days are evil. There are forces at work in the world that want to steal our joy. And actually, I think it would be more accurate to say there are forces at work in the world that force us or make us think that we have to give up our joy. And we give it away. And it's really easy for us to do that. Which is why Paul says in a number of different places, for instance, he says in Colossians, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." A couple of weeks ago, we read from Philippians, where he says, "Whatever's true, whatever's good, whatever's beautiful, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things." And then the peace of God, the joy of God, will be yours. That's what it's all about. Be careful what you focus on, because if you're not careful, you're going to give that joy away. And when you do focus on these things, how you experience life and what you experience life is going to be drastically changed. One of my favorite stories that I think is a great illustration of this is a story about an old man who was sitting in a rocking chair at the edge of this small town one day when a traveler came by and said, "Hey, I'm thinking about maybe moving to this town. What are the people like here?" The old man said, "Well, what are the people like where you live now?" And the traveler said, "Oh," he said, they're just awful. They're mean, and they gossip, and they treat me like dirt, and just really, really unhappy there." And the old man said, "Well, I'm really sorry to tell you this," he said, "but the people in this town are exactly like that." And so he goes fuming away. Not long after that, another guy comes along, and he asks the same question. "So what are the people in this town like?" And the old man repeats his question. "Well, what are they like in the town where you live now?" And the man says, "They are such kind, beautiful, generous people. They love me, and I love them, and moving away from there would be one of the hardest things I would ever do." And the old man stood up, and he said, "Well," he says, "you're in luck, because that's exactly the way the people in this town are. Welcome to your new home." We have more control over how we experience life than we might think. We can live lives that are enthusiastic, that are joyful, and that are thankful, provided we do a couple of things. And here's kind of my takeaway from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Number one, don't try to find your joy in artificial ways, whether it's at the bottom of a bottle or a shopping cart or anything else. It isn't going to do it for you. That's not where you're going to find joy. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit and let the joy of that bubble up from inside of you. Let that be your joy. Number two, be careful what you focus on, because that is what you'll see. Focus on things that are good and beautiful and worthy of praise, and that's what you're going to begin to see in your life. Focus on all the flaws. Focus on all the problems. That's what you're going to see. And finally, remember that you have permission. My permission, the church's permission, God's permission to have fun and to enjoy this life and to laugh and to dance and to sing, because it's good news. There's a reason we call it good news. It is good news of great joy, and it is for all people. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the joy that we have in you and in your Son, that he came to set us free from legalism, that he came to set us free from checking lists and perfectionism, so that we might experience your love where we are, and that we might grow in that love, and that we might grow in joy. Help us in this Thanksgiving week to again turn to you, to experience real Thanksgiving and real joy, and to share that same joy with others. For we ask this all in Jesus' name.